Don't touch that dial. It's time for the Chrysler Air Temp Program. Fibber McGee and the good old days of radio. The makers of Chrysler Air Temp, air conditioning for the home, for business, and for industry, bring you Fibber McGee and the good old days of radio. Written by Phil Leslie and starring Jim Jordan, Chuck Shaden, great voices from radio's golden age, and me, Larry Thor. Tonight you'll hear again great sounds from not so long ago. Sounds from those golden days when radio was radio and every night a new adventure. So come with us for the next hour as we visit once again with Fibber McGee and the good old days of radio. This year at Air Temp, we're celebrating a mighty important event in air conditioning history, our 40th anniversary. Yes, Air Temp started cooling people way back in 1934. That's when Walter P. Chrysler put the finishing touches on his famous Chrysler building in New York City. And one of those touches was central air conditioning, the first of its kind in a modern skyscraper. Engineered and built by Chrysler. Air Temp's been at it ever since. Cooling everything under the sun, homes, schools, offices, factories, every kind of building and every kind of room in every kind of climate. And all through the years, from 1934 to 1974, Air Temp has put something into air conditioning nobody else can. Chrysler Engineering. It all adds up to the most modern air conditioning. Quiet, efficient, dependable. That's why, despite all the changes 40 years can bring, Air Temp quality is still the finest. Choose Chrysler Air Temp with confidence. Return with us now to those thrilling days of yesteryear, to the living room at 79 Wistful Vista, where, singing happily to himself as he tinkers with his old 1934 radio, we find the biggest tinker of them all, Fibber McGee.
Oh, I had a pair of billy goats. I called them Jeff and Mutt. I took them to Las Vegas, and we all three lost our money playing the slot machine. Oh, the monkey and the coconuts. Doggone it, what's the matter with this dad-rat radio anyhow? I promised Chuck Shaden we could tune in some old shows tonight. And... come in.
Hello, Mr. McGee.
Oh, hi, Chuck. Well, come in, sit a spell.
How's that old radio of yours? Still picking up the old shows?
Well, it will as soon as I get it.
Because I've been looking forward to Tuesday night, those really great Tuesday nights way back in the
30s. Oh, no, not Tuesday, Chuck. When I do get this thing fixed, we'll try some other night.
Some other night? Oh, you got to be kidding. Why, for you, Tuesday ought to be the easiest night of the week to find on that old radio. After all, you and Molly were on Tuesday nights and...
Yeah, sure. We were on for about 100 years, seemed like. So let's just skip Tuesday.
Oh, come on. I wouldn't miss Tuesday for anything. That was a great radio night. Everybody remembers.
Yeah, you're right. There were some great Tuesday shows in those days.
There sure were. And one of the greatest comedy teams of all time, in my book,
were Bob Hope and Jerry Colonna. Right.
Well, that's not exactly
who Bob Hope started in vaudeville, you know. Then went to movies and then to radio.
Yeah, well, he's been going every place in the world ever since.
I don't think he'll ever stop. Remember Professor Colonna? He'd always call Bob Hope from some ridiculous place, like from a barrel going over Niagara Falls, or from...
We just got to get this set working. Come on, can I help you? What can I do?
Well, let me see. Here, you can hold this wire for me.
Oh, all right. I got it.
While I adjust this knob here. Feel anything?
Feel anything? No, nothing.
Well, let's see here. Maybe if I put this tube here and tighten this tube. Now, anything?
No. What am I supposed to feel? Does it get warm or something?
Oh, I'm not sure. Just a second. Oh, let me turn this dial here. And...
That's it.
Now it's working. Thanks, Chuck.
I got here last night, so I had to sleep in the barracks with the men. You know what barracks are? 2,000 cots separated by individual crap games.
Rugged guys these Marines are. Today, one of them pulled off his shirt, handed me a tattoo needle, and said, okay, make with the autograph, boy. I shook hands with one Marine, and when I got my hand back, there were only 4 fingers. I said, what's the ID? He said, keep moving, bud. There's a 20% withholding tax. And these Marines stick together and have a wonderful esprit de corps. Esprit de corps. That's a French expression meaning see if she's got a sister. You know, during the time they stay in boot camp, these Marines have to forget completely about girls. In fact, at midnight, the sergeant goes through the barracks with a flashlight, waking up anybody that has a smile on his face. And these Marines here are really tough. You should see the hair on their chest. There's one fella here with so much hair in his chest, his captain insists on him getting into crap games. He's the only one in camp that can roll the dice and sweep the barracks at the same time. And all this talk about sailors and Marines not getting along isn't true. Why, when I arrived in camp, they showed me a sailor who hadn't stole... I'll be back. Wait a minute. I'm here. Why, when I arrived in camp, they showed me a sailor who had stolen a Marine's girl 2 weeks ago, and the sailor was just sitting there in a chair smiling. Honestly, it was the best embalming job I ever saw.
Gee whiz, Bob Hope. I haven't heard him chuck since, the day before yesterday.
Yeah, but that show was from way back in the 40s.
Yeah. Hope was always great for the sponsors, too, you know what? Because when he pitched a product, people remembered it.
That's for sure.
Like, you take that little rhyme he used to use when he was on for that toothpaste company. Oh, that must be 20, 30 years ago, but everybody remembers it.
Toothpaste? Oh, you mean Pepsi?
Sure. If you brush your teeth with PepsiCone, you'll wonder where the yellow's going. Message like that stays with you, boy.
Guess I must have heard it wrong.
Must have sold a jillion tubes at that PepsiCone toothpaste. Let me see what I can get here now.
You know the show I want to hear. My favorite couple.
What? Sure, you don't mean my favorite husband with Lucille Ball, because she started back in radio.
No. This was a man and wife, all right, but it wasn't.
Oh, sure, I love that show. Ethel and Albert.
Ethel and Albert. They were on the old Blue Network. Ethel was Peg Lynch, and she wrote the shows, and they were just great.
Yeah, I remember. Another show I used to love on the Blue Network was Major Hoople.
Yes, that was on Mondays, though. Major Hoople was played by Arthur Q. Bryant. Is that right?
Yep. Arthur Q. was a great actor. And you know where he went from the Major Hoople show?
You're darn right I do. He played Doc Gamble on Fibber McGee and Molly show.
Yeah.
Now, why don't you tune that radio back, and let's see if we can't get the McGee show, because...
Well, there's some small variety shows on Tuesday in those days, Chuck. Remember Al Jolson? And Parker Carcass was with him for a while.
Yeah, that was a big variety show in its time.
Martha Ray was on that. And Marie Wilson.
Right. And that was long before Marie Wilson had her own show, My Friend Irma.
There were all kinds of shows on Tuesday nights in those days. Crime shows, police shows.
Oh, and one show starring a fireman.
A fireman? I don't think I ever heard that one.
Oh, actually, he wasn't just a fireman. He was the chief.
Oh, sure. Ed Wynn, the Texaco fire chief.
Yeah.
I'll bet we can get that show right now. I know.
Be quiet. We've got a lot of letters here, and we have to get through them. Let's start, huh?
Yes.
All right. Here's one from Palm Springs, California.
Palm Springs?
Yeah. Dear Fire Chief, you claim to know everything. Answer this one. Who was the first person to do a jigsaw puzzle? Signed, a piece missing.
See, you're not all there.
The first person to do a jigsaw puzzle was the Scotsman who tore up a $10 bill by mistake.
Here's one from Dallas, Texas.
Where?
Dallas, Texas.
Dallas?
Yeah. Dear Fire Chief, who was the greatest gangster of all time? Signed, forgot what to say.
Gangster. Dear, I'll be very careful.
The greatest gangster of all time was Atlas. He held up the whole world,
that guy.
Go on, here's one from Here's one from Tucson, Arizona.
Tucson? I've been there, Graham.
Dear Fire Chief, last night while I was sleeping, my wife shaved off my mustache. What do you think of that? Signed, Mortified.
Oh, my.
Dear Mortified, it's the condition that exists in all over the world right now. The mere fact that your mustache was shaved off while you were sleeping proves that nobody can tell what's going on right under their own noses.
Come in.
Hello, pal. Hiya, Chuck.
Oh, hiya, Larry.
Hello, Mr. Thor.
To what do we owe the pleasure, if any, of this visit, Breezy? You just passing through, I hope?
Well, yes, I'm on my way to the radio station, pal. I'm doing a commercial for Chrysler Air Temp tonight.
Is that so?
And I thought if I run through it here first, maybe you'd give me a few tips.
I'll be glad to give you a few tips. And the first tip is, Run along now, Bud, and come back when we're not so busy.
When the temperature soars into the 90s this summer, thousands of homeowners will be glad they provided their families with the cool comfort of Chrysler AirTemp Whole House Air Conditioning. And because this is 1974, I want to tell them about the fine equipment Chrysler AirTemp is offering this year.
What's so special about 1974?
You haven't heard, pal?
No.
Well, this is the year that AirTemp is 40 years old.
Oh, do tell. Well, tell them I said happy birthday, and when I get some free time, I'll send them a card on it.
I'm glad you said free. That reminds me to tell everyone how easy it is to get a free home cooling survey.
Oh, sure.
Just call your local Chrysler AirTemp dealer and he'll arrange it without obligation.
Fine. Now, if you got to rush off, it's okay, because Chuck and I got other things here we'd like
to do. Right now, during AirTemp's 40th anniversary, you can get fine values in whole house air conditioning. You'd be surprised how little it costs.
In this day and age? Are you kidding me, Larry?
Nope. And your local AirTemp dealer can prove it. He offers the only air conditioner with Chrysler engineering.
No kidding.
Chrysler takes extra care in engineering to give you extra comfort in your home or place of business. Get a free home cooling survey, AirTemp 40th anniversary values, and Chrysler engineering. Three outstanding reasons to choose Chrysler AirTemp with confidence.
Easy, breezy, easy. You're going to overshoot the runway. Besides, how can anybody choose Chrysler AirTemp with confidence unless you tell them who to call?
Our local announcer keeps track of Chrysler AirTemp dealers.
Oh,
and anybody asks where they can buy the finest air conditioning, he says,
in Overland Park, Kansas, the AirTemp dealer for you to call is Trogue Nichols Service at 888-2101. In Blue Springs, Missouri, call Giacomo Sheet Metal at 229-1809. And in Kansas City, Missouri, call D.H. Carter Refrigeration Company at 444-8733.
How about that?
Very commendable, Breezy. But you'll never get that commercial on the air unless you get down to Earth and get down to that radio station.
Hey, you're right. So long, pal, and thanks for the help.
Now that old Breezy's through blowing in our ears, maybe we can get some more entertainment out of this old radio here.
There were so many shows I loved as a kid, Mr. McGee. Some of them I can't even remember, but...
When I was a kid, Chuck, I didn't have time to listen to much radio. I was too busy working.
Working? You? I can't picture you as a working man.
What do you mean by that, Craig?
I mean, you seem to be more the artistic type, you know, creative.
Oh, naturally. You see, being in business is like ballet dancing. You got to be on your toes every minute.
On your toes.
You got to watch for opportunity and grab it. Like the time I worked on my uncle's truck farm one summer.
A truck farm? Raised vegetables, did he?
No, he raised trucks out of mud holes with a team of mules. When them trucks got stuck and we unstuck them, we stuck the drivers $10 a truck.
$10 to pull a truck out of the muck, huh? Not bad.
Business got so good during the rainy season that we bought ourselves another pair of mules. Opened a branch mud hole down the road.
And started expanding, did you?
Betcha. We spread out like butter on a hot waffle. Bought ourselves another bulldozer and start digging our own mud holes all over the county.
Good thinking.
But you know how it is when you get too successful. Washington moved in and gave us trouble.
Trouble? From the government?
No, Barney Washington. Drove a truck for the brewery.
Oh.
I was mining the mud hole one day when this guy slammed his truck into it. And when I come out from behind the bushes with the mules and offered to pull him out, he got downright nasty about
it.
No
kidding.
I can get just as nasty as any 200-pound truck driver, especially when he's still sitting in his truck. So I says to him, I says, "You got a lot of nerve slamming that big rig into my mud hole and splashing half the mud out of it. What are you trying to do, ruin a good business?" I says.
That's telling him.
So he says, "I'm going to ruin you. That's what I'm going to ruin," he says. And I says, "Oh, yeah," I says. "Oh, yeah," he says.
Pretty sharp dialogue, all right. Well, what did you do?
Talk don't scare me, boy. I looked him right in the eye, kind of cold and dead-like, and I says, "You're asking for it, Cy. Take off your coat," I says.
Did he take it off?
Did he take it off? Wow. He got out of that coat like he had bees up his sleeves. So I didn't see any sense in getting blood all over his shirt, especially mine. So I jumped on a mule and come on home.
I guess being in business for yourself is rough. I can remember a couple of businessmen that used to be on radio.
You don't mean those two guys down in Arkansas that had the little store?
That's right, the Jot 'em Down store with Lum and Abner.
Yeah, Lum and Abner. Boy, They ought to be in here someplace. I never miss those guys.
Granny Abner, I believe that's our ring.
Aye, Dog is Lum, I believe you're right.
I'll see. Hello, Jot 'em Down Store. This is Lum and Abner.
Let's see what's going on down in Pine Ridge. Lum and Abner's new bank, which they are now operating in connection with the Jot'em Down store, is slowly getting underway. Friday and Saturday, they received a few new accounts and now boast of deposits totaling over $400. As we look in on Pine Ridge today, we find Abner down in the vault. Lum is just entering the store. Listen.
Abner? Hey, Abner!
Here I am down here.
Well, what are you doing down there around that vault? Wait a minute, you ain't rigging up another burglar alarm, are you?
No, sir, I'm just down here.
What in the world do you think you're doing?
Painting a safe.
Swan, to goodness, it's got to where I can't leave this place for 5 minutes without you doing something wrong.
Well, you made me take that burglar alarm off. I was just trying to study up something to make the bank safe for our depositors. Just trying to help.
Yeah, and if you'd quit trying to help, we'd get along a heap better. Got two of my best suits of clothes sopping wet the other day at that burglar alarm.
You said you wouldn't bring that up no more, Lum.
I don't like to hurt your feelings, Abner, but I believe I better look after the bank and you take care of the store.
Well, it's just as much my bank as it is yours.
Yeah, but both of us cashing checks and taking in deposits, we never will be able to keep things straight around here. We're still $8.40 off from Saturday.
Off?
Yeah, we got $8.40 more than we ought to have, according to the books.
Well, good. Good for us.
Good?
Why, sure. We're ahead that much, ain't we?
Yeah, but we beat somebody out of it. We either shortchanged somebody when we cashed a check for them, or somebody deposited some money and we never made out no slip for it.
Well, maybe we just made that much out of the bank, Lum. Profits.
No, couldn't be. The only way a bank can make any money is to loan money. We ain't loaning but $20, and we won't make no interest on that for 6 months yet.
For 6 months?
Yeah. That loan I made Finest Bradley, he's supposed to pay the interest every 6 months.
Well, how long did you loan it to him for?
Well, we never set no particular time. He said he didn't know when he could pay it back.
Yeah, well, supposing he don't pay for 3 or 4 years.
Well, that's the way we'll make our money. The longer he keeps it, the more interest he'll have to pay. 80 cents every 6 months he'll have to pay us.
80 cents?
Yes, sir. $20 at 8%, $1.60 a year, and half of that makes 80 cents every 6 months.
You mean we're going to have to keep this bank open, work here every day for 6 months just to make 80 cents?
And he said, don't sound like a whole lot, does it?
Well, supposing he pays it before the 6 months is up.
Don't get no interest at all, I reckon. But I don't think we'll have no trouble with that. You know that Finest, what a deadbeat he is. He never pays nothing back.
Well, that's what I thought Saturday whenever you let him have the money.
You see now what I had in mind, don't you? See, if he don't pay us for 10 years, we'll make $16 on that one loan. Done figured it up.
Yeah, well, if we can get enough money loaned out that way, well, I reckon it'll be all right.
Oh, well, Finest ain't the only deadbeat in town. I've got some others in mind. I believe I can talk Squire Skimp into borrowing some. And you know he ain't going to pay off no loan. We can make interest off of him for years.
Yeah, I believe I'm catching on now, Lum.
Yeah, the longer they keep the money out, the more interest we'll make. Like Uncle Henry Lunsford wanted to borrow $50 Saturday. I had to turn him down.
Turned Uncle Henry down?
Had to.
Why, he never beat a man out of a nickel in his life, Lum. All has been just as honest and upright in all his dealings as he could be.
That's just what I told him. I said, Uncle Henry, if I loan you this money, I know good and well the day it's due, you'll be right in here with the money, and we can't make no money that way.
Well, what did he say?
Oh, natural. Him not knowing nothing about banking business, he couldn't see my side.
Couldn't, huh?
Thought she's supposed to pay it when it's due, I reckon.
Yeah. Well, how much can we loan out?
They were always great. Everything took place at the Jot'em Down store, didn't it? In Pine Ridge, Arkansas.
Yeah, and did you know that Lum and Abner, Chet Lauk and Tuffy Goff, their names were, they were on radio for almost 25 years.
Boy, they go back to the real early days of radio, don't they?
Started on the air in 1931. They were on all the networks at one time or another. And they were on every night of the week, too, not just Tuesday.
Was there really a Pine Ridge, Arkansas, Mr. McGee?
Not when they started, there wasn't. That's an interesting story, Chuck.
Tell me about it.
Lum and Abner got so popular on the radio that the people in a real town in Arkansas, a town called Waters, Arkansas, voted to change the name of their town to Pine Ridge.
Ah.
Yeah, that was in 1936. So since then, there really has been a Pine Ridge, Arkansas.
Oh, that's really nice.
Yep.
And isn't this nice, you know, being able to tune into those great old days and listen to Lum and Abner again?
Yeah. The nostalgia is getting so thick in here, you could cut it with a shovel. And if I had a shovel, I'd... Wait a minute. I think I'm getting something weird. Oh, fade it out again.
Keep trying, please. You know, there's so many Tuesday shows that I want to hear. I remember Date with Judy and Ben Burney, the old maestro.
Yowza, yowza, yowza. Ben Burney and all the lads.
Yowza, that's him. Yep. Hey, then there was Don McNeil and the Breakfast Club. He was on Tuesday and every day practically forever.
Did you know Perry Mason was on radio way back in the early 40s?
Yeah, and Perry Como was on the air in the late 40s.
He was on before that, kid. Hmm? Perry Como was the vocalist with Ted Weems Orchestra back in 1937.
You know, I know that Ted Weems' band played for a show called Fibber McGee and Molly.
Yeah, but that's not what I was thinking
about. Come on, let's quit fooling around. Let's tune into the show I've been asking about all evening.
Hold it. I got something even better. Ah, Red Skelton.
Boy, it's time to get up. Boy, I think I'll go back to my dreams again. Boy, I had a serious dream. Oh, goodness. I dreamed that the Russians couldn't get the plans for the atomic bomb, so they started out to find the most destructive thing in the world, the second most destructive. But my mummy wouldn't tell them how I was put together, you know. Oh, somebody's coming. Somebody's coming.
Junior, come on, dear. It's time to get up.
And I do mean...
Day. Wake up, Junior. All right, I'll see if you're playing possum. I'll throw a glass of ice water on you. Now, Junior, I have a busy day ahead. All right, I'll get the ice water.
Don't be afraid, folks. She won't do it. She won't do it.
Junior, do you hear me?
Nothing to get you.
Okay, about. I'm going to throw it.
She'll never do it in a million years, but she'll never do it. Man overboard! I'm going to tell on you.
You're going to tell
what? I'm going to tell everybody that you was in the original cast of the old Shakespearean plays. And that you was... That old Shakespeare was your beau.
Now look, Virus X. I'm not that old.
Oh, you're not that old.
No.
No. Oh, bravo, bravo, Verna. You were superb. You were...
Oh, yes. But I owe it all to my beloved William.
Don't you hit me. Don't you. Could you wait?
Is Junior ready for breakfast?
If we're having it in the goldfish bowl, I is.
Oh, Junior, what happened?
Well, Nemo, you threw a whole glass of ice water on me, and I wasn't doing nothing.
Oh, Mother, now you shouldn't have.
No.
Why, the poor little child, a thing like that could cause him to grow up with a phobia against water. Oh, you poor child.
Oh, come now, kiddo. Let's not get carried away.
Ah, the good old days. For Chrysler Air Temp, they began in 1934, the year they started building air conditioners.
Hey, that's Larry Thor.
Who else?
Now, to help celebrate their 40th anniversary, Air Temp proudly offers a complete line of whole house air conditioning equipment for 1974.
Is that so?
That's right. You can get Chrysler Air Temp whole house air conditioning systems for every budget and cooling need from 2 to 5 tons.
Great way to keep cool.
And when you choose Air Temp, you get a better air conditioner, the only one with Chrysler engineering. Call your local dealer now for a free home cooling survey. He'll recommend the Air Temp unit that's best for you without obligation. What's more, he'll give you an Air Temp 40th anniversary gift.
Probably a free 1934 almanac.
A free rib-tickling record of the good old days of radio. It's a $5.95 value featuring great moments in comedy from radio's golden age. To get your free record and your free home cooling survey, call your participating Air Temp dealer. Here's the number.
In Kansas City, Kansas, the Air Temp dealer for you to call is Air Cooling and Energy, 621-5573. In Belton, Missouri, call Rudroff Heating and Cooling at 331-4347. And in Overland Park, Kansas, call Trogue Nichols Service at 888-2101.
You're listening to Fibber McGee and the Good Old Days of Radio, brought to you by Chrysler Air Temp and their thousands of dealers coast to coast. You know, many people still remember the good old days when a dollar was worth every penny. Chrysler Air Temp does. They've seen a lot of hot weather come and go since 1934 when they made their first air conditioner. For 40 years, Chrysler Air Temp has been dedicated to quality in air conditioning.
Today's AirTemp home cooling systems reflect this dedication in every detail. There's one for every budget and every cooling need from 2 to 5 tons. And today, when you choose AirTemp, you get the only air conditioner with Chrysler engineering. That's double value. So call your local dealer for a free home cooling survey. In addition, he'll give you a free, rib-tickling record of the good old days of radio. It's a $5.95 value featuring comedy highlights from radio's golden age. To get your free AirTemp home cooling survey and your free record, call your participating AirTemp dealer now. Check the yellow pages under air conditioning and choose Chrysler AirTemp with confidence. Now let's get back to 79 Wistful Vista, where Fibber McGee and super radio fan Chuck Shaden are listening to great old radio programs on Fibber's Great Old Radio.
Ah, Tuesday was a great radio night. It had everything from Horace Height and his musical nights to Information Please with Cliff Fadiman.
You know, there was a show I used to listen to. What was the name? Oh, I know. Mr. Keene, Tracer of Lost Persons. Remember him?
I'll say I remember him. I called Mr. Keene up one night to see if he could trace a missing person for us. Molly's Uncle Dennis disappeared.
Uncle Dennis? Mm-hmm. Isn't he the one who had a sort of a drinking problem?
Are you kidding? Drinking was no problem for Uncle Dennis. That was the easiest thing he did. That and falling up the front steps every night.
I remember hearing about that. But you say he disappeared one night?
The 17th of March, 1945. He was marching in the St. Patrick's Day Parade, you see, playing the piccolo in the band.
Mm-hmm.
Well, sir, he'd played about 89 bars of When Irish Eyes Are Smiling when he come to a place in the music that says, take a 5-bar rest.
A 5-bar rest?
Uncle Dennis took a rest in the first 4 bars he come to, but in the 5th bar, he fell sound asleep.
Must have been tired, huh?
You'd be tired, too, if you had a load on like he had. Anyway, when he hadn't showed up by the next day, we put Mr. Keene, tracer of lost persons, on his trail.
Ah, Mr. Keene never failed. He did a perfect job for you, right?
He did a lousy job.
What?
He traced Uncle Dennis down, brought him home, and had him falling up the front steps again in 20 minutes. I never listened to that guy Keene again.
I can see your point, but don't you think it's about time to give the poor guy another chance?
Well, yeah, I guess so. No use holding a grudge any longer. Let me see if I can tune him in here.
That would be just keen.
You have an automobile, of course.
Yes, I was going to tell you about that. The car is gone.
Oh?
I thought perhaps that Ethel, as I said, may have driven to Florida. My wife drives, you know. I thought maybe she'd met with an accident.
That's always a possibility.
Ethel was a careful driver, I'll have to say that. Besides, if there had been an accident, I'm sure I'd have been notified.
That's true, of course. Mrs. Frank would have had her address on the driver's license. By the way, Mr. Frank, what is the license number of your car?
Oh, here it is. I'll write it out for you.
Thank you. I'm inclined to agree with you, Mr. Frank, that a woman who had everything, as your wife apparently had, wouldn't want to disappear. Yet, if there was something that...
I don't understand you, Mr. Keene.
Mr. Frank, what is your business?
I'm in the wholesale produce business, my own firm. Here's my card. Business and home address.
Thank you. Thank you. Tell me, Mr. Frank, do you enjoy the theater?
Oh, well, I guess I like the theater as much as anybody when I have time for it. Well, why do you ask that, Mr. Keene?
Well, let me put it this way. Did you and your wife spend much time together socially?
Well, Mr. Keene, I'm sorry to say that we didn't. That's my fault. Yet it really isn't.
I suppose your business keeps you pretty much occupied.
That's just it.
Yes, I understand that.
But I don't want you to get the wrong impression, Mr. Keene. To tell you the truth, I've been so busy in the last month or two that I've hardly been able to get home for dinner.
And of course, that left your wife alone.
Mr. Keene, you've got to find her. I'll make it worth your while. I'll cooperate with you in every possible way.
Mr. Frank, this case particularly interests me. When a woman reaches the age of your wife in the neighborhood of 50... many things go on in her heart and her soul that sometimes are not apparent, even to those who are closest to her and love her most dearly. Yes, I'll take this case. No.
Come in.
Hi, pal. Hello, Chuck.
Oh, hi, Larry.
Well, how'd you like it?
How'd I like what?
My message for Chrysler AirTemp Whole House Air Conditioning.
Oh, not bad. Except you left out all the highlights.
What?
You know, the trouble with you, Junior, is you got no romance in your soul. That's what you got no romance in.
Romance? With an air conditioner?
Sounds like fun.
Look, It's Air Temp's 40th anniversary, isn't it?
Huh?
You could have milked that for all it's worth. Put a little sediment in your message. I know every time I have an anniversary, I get all choked up.
Sediment can do that. But I'm glad you mentioned Air Temp's 40th anniversary.
I can see you needed help.
Because over the past 40 years, Air Temp has introduced or perfected several basic components of modern air conditioning, including improvements that help the entire industry.
That guy's about as romantic as a belch.
Take, for instance, the A-frame evaporator coil, which makes possible the compact central air conditioning systems found in modern homes. You know who perfected that?
No, but I bet you'll tell us.
Air Temp introduced the first successful A-frame evaporator coil in 1954. Now, instead of taking up a whole lot of room, home central air conditioning can be tucked out of the way in no more room than your hall closet here.
No more room is what that hall closet's got, Junior. Don't open it.
Okay, I just want you to remember that Air Temp puts something into air conditioning that's even more important than romance.
What's that there?
Chrysler Engineering. Only Air Temp air conditioning has it, and that means extra care in engineering. No wonder we say you can choose Chrysler Air Temp with confidence.
Confidence, eh? Can interested homeowners get more information?
Better than that. They can get a free Air Temp home cooling survey. Just turn the dial of your radio to the local station.
Like this?
Like this.
In Kansas City, Kansas, the Air Temp dealers for you to call are Schuler Electric Company at 262-2969 and Air Cooling and Energy at 621-5573. And in Kansas City, Missouri, call D.H. Carter Refrigeration Company at 444-8733.
Come on now, Mr. McGee. You've stalled long enough. Tune that old radio in to 79 Wistful Vista.
But you're already here at 79 Wistful Vista.
Sure, I'm here now, but I want to be here way back then, through the magic of radio.
That's not how Molly and I got here, I'll tell you that.
No?
We got here the hard way, boy.
How did you two find this place?
Well, when Molly and I were young, we had ourselves a vaudeville taxi, and we traveled just about everywhere. Went from Peoria right direct to Paris.
Paris? France?
Paris, Illinois. From there, we went to Frankfurt.
Germany?
Illinois. Evanston, Salem, and from there to Ottawa.
Canada?
Illinois. And from there, we took a long jump to Athens.
Ah, Athens, Illinois, huh?
No, Athens, Ohio.
You did get around.
Finally, we wound up in Chicago and started doing radio. We worked on Kaltenmeyer's Kindergarten, the Smith Family, and then Smackout.
Gee, a lot of people remember those shows.
Finally, when we started our own show in prime time, we decided we need a house.
So you bought this place in Wistful Vista?
Bought it? Are you kidding? Molly and I didn't have enough money to buy a birdhouse, much less a people house. We won it.
You won this house?
Yep. We scraped up just enough dough to buy a raffle ticket, and what do you know? We won.
And you said you didn't get here by the magic of radio. Anyway, you've been living here then ever since.
Yep. We've had some interesting neighbors through the years, Chuck.
I've known most of them. Throckmorton P. Gildersleeve. He lived right next door for a while, didn't he?
Yeah, but I could have done without him for a neighbor. All Gildersleeve and I ever did was argue. We were at each other's throats like a couple of necktie salesmen.
He moved to Summerfield and had his own radio show, didn't he? On Wednesday nights.
Yeah, but I didn't miss him. Everybody in the neighborhood used to drop in here on Tuesday nights. Wally Wimple'd come over with his bird book and show us his collection.
Of birds?
No, bruises. Sweetie Face's big old wife.
I remember. She used to really thump him full of lumps.
Well, old-timer came over every week. And Horatio K. Boomer, remember him? Always going through his pockets trying to find something.
Ah, yes, a check for a short beer. You and Molly certainly had a wide variety of friends.
Yep, all the way from Ole the janitor at the Elks to His Honor himself, Mayor Latrivia.
You and Molly used to give the mayor a pretty bad time.
You said it. We used to needle Latriv like acupuncture. But the guy I was closest to in them days, Chuck, was Doc Gamble.
You were?
Doc was a real friend, a true friend. A guy I fought with like a brother.
Yeah, I used to hear you. Doc was a good man, though.
Oh, sure, and we appreciated him, too. I mind one time we gave a testimonial dinner for Doc on Washington's birthday.
Washington's birthday?
I had a medal made that it said to Dr. George Gamble, first in the hearts, lungs, and livers of his countrymen.
Oh, that was a nice sentiment.
Then I handed him a great big bouquet. Old Doc just cried like a baby.
Oh, really touched his heart, huh?
No, it touched off his hay fever. My bouquet was goldenrod, and Doc had the worst case of hay fever.
Hey, this set's warming up again. It's working.
Oh, okay. I'll see if I can get
it. No, I'll do it this time. Let me tune it. I'm finally going to hear it Tuesday night at 79 Wistful Vista.
When a housewife like Mrs. Molly McGee starts gazing thoughtfully around the living room with that I wonder how much it would cost to redecorate look in her eyes, it's high time that a man like Mr. McGee, who's been pinching the budget for a new bowling ball, did some fast thinking. Like right now. as we join Fibber McGee and Molly.
Let me see. If the walls were painted sort of a dusty green and the ceiling an off-white, this carpet would still be all right.
Hey, Molly, you know what month this is?
Yes, February. And we've got to get that old floor lamp out of here.
Huh?
It's been knocked over so many times it ducks whenever we come into the room. Now, I've been thinking that if we have the walls painted a dusty
green... You said it, kiddo. That floor lamp is a nuisance.
It used to have three speeds.
Yeah, I know. Dim, flicker, and out. Let's get rid of it.
Fine, that's a good start. Now, I was thinking...
You were thinking? What do you think I've been doing lying here studying this popular mechanics magazine my head off? I've been studying how to make a beautiful new lamp, Molly. A new lamp out of an old spittoon. Ain't that a coincidence for you?
Well, it's a coincidence, sweetheart, but not for me.
Huh?
In the first place, while cuspidors may have a certain historic charm and look cute in the windows of antique shops, I want none of them in my living room.
Even made into a lamp with flowers growing out in it?
I wouldn't want one if it were made into a crystal chandelier with sunny tufts grown out of it. Now, look, McGee. This living room needs a new lamp.
You bet it does, baby. And I'm just the guy that can whip one up for you. Who was it that made all the best stuff in my 8th grade manual training class back in Peoria?
Little Charlie Carell.
Yeah, and he had the bench right next to me, and I saw how he did everything. Throw that old floor lamp out, Snooky, before the sun sets tonight. I'm going to make you a new one. A new lamp now, and maybe next year we can have the whole room redecorated. Huh?
Can't do it this year?
I don't see how, baby. I'll know better after March 15th. And if you see me laughing while I pay our income tax, don't get alarmed. I'll be reaching so far down for the dough, I'll be tickling my own feet. Oh, boy. Every year.
Come in.
Oh, hi, old-timer.
Hello, Mr. Old-timer.
Hello there, kids. What you doing?
I was just about to start making a new table lamp out of something old, timer. You know anything about handicraft?
Nope. Only member of my family that took manual training was my brother.
What was his name?
Manuel. Manuel trained to be a blacksmith.
Yeah?
Mighty good one, too. I can close my eyes and see old Manuel yet, standing in the barn basement on a stepladder, reaching up to shoe a horse.
On a ladder in the basement?
Reaching up to shoe a horse.
Well, now, kids, a horse don't just sit in a chair and stick his foot out and say, "That's very nice, but have you got the same thing an alligator like people do?" A horse just stands there.
Yes, but...
So, Manuel, he cut a hole in the barn floor, hired a kid to lead a horse over the hole till the proper hoof was showing, then he'd run downstairs, climb up the ladder, and glue the shoe on.
Look, old-timer, in the first place, all that stuff isn't necessary. You just pick up 1 foot at a time and put the shoe on.
And you don't glue the shoe on, you nail it on.
Yeah, nails.
Nail it on? Oh, daughter, I'm disappointed in you.
Huh?
Standing there so sweet and gentle-looking... and suggesting somebody hammer nails into a dumb animal? Man's best
friend. Oh, time. But it don't hurt them. They haven't got any feeling in their hoofs.
How do you know, Johnny? You ever been a horse?
Why, of course he hasn't.
Well, I have. I don't want anybody nailing my shoes on.
What do you mean you were a horse?
Well, I wasn't a complete horse, Johnny. Just the front end. Me and another fellow, we was a horse and circus once.
Oh.
But he got the heaves one summer and had to quit the act.
Well, I've always wanted to know a horse personally to speak to. Would you care for some nice, fresh oatmeal cookies?
That's pretty good, brother. That ain't the way I heard it.
How did you hear it?
Well, the way I heard it, Johnny, one feller says, t'other feller says, I see where Russia's just passed a law where they ain't allowed to talk to foreigners. That's pretty silly, says t'other feller. They're all foreigners themselves. Well, good luck junior horse, Johnny. So long, daughter.
Well, now, let me see. First, I get the shoe red hot, and then the nail. Hey, what am I? I'm not shoeing a horse. I'm going to make a table lamp.
That's what you said anyway, but out of what?
Oh, I'll find something.
Well, while you try to think of it, I'll run upstairs and back in the guest room.
Okay.
Let me know now what you decide to use.
Okay, Tootsie. Ah, there goes a good kid. What does she care if I'm not very handy at making things? As long as I'm kind and generous and tactful and sweet. And quiet, and understanding, and tolerant, and patient, and gentle, and unassuming, and modest. Hey, my gosh, here's just the thing to make a lamp out of. This old pewter teapot. Oh, boy, this will be a cinch. All I got to do is get the... Uh-oh. Come in.
Hi, mister.
Oh, hi, Tini.
Where's Miss McGee? Where is she?
She's upstairs, sis. Vacuum the guest room. Why?
Well, gee, mister, she almost never seems to be here when I come in.
Yeah, I noticed that.
I thought maybe she didn't like little children or something.
No, not just a coincidence, I guess, Teenie. She's very fond of little children.
Hey, what you doing with the teapot, mister? What you doing with it?
Shh, not so loud, sis. I'm going to make a lamp out of this and surprise my wife.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
That'll be dandy of it.
Yeah.
That's an awful pretty teapot.
You think so?
Well, I...
I said you think so?
Think what?
That it's very pretty.
What is?
This teapot.
What about it?
I think it's very pretty.
Gee, I do too, I betcha. Gee. That's one of the prettiest silver teapots I ever saw, mister.
Ah, but it isn't silver, sis. It's pewter.
Honest?
Yep.
My brother used to raise pewter pigeons once, but all the neighbors...
No. Not powder. Pewter. This teapot is made of pewter. It's a metal. An alloy, rather. You know what an alloy is, sis.
Oh. Oh, everybody knows that, mister. An alloy is a little thin street that runs behind people's garages. Oh. You're just kidding me, I betcha.
Look, sis, I've always said that the day you don't learn at least one thing is a day wasted. Now you take pewter.
Okay.
Pewter is an alloy, which in this case is a combination of three metals. Silver, nickel, and pewter. Pewter is a rare metal that is found only on the west coast of Pewtergonia. Pewter has to be mined very quickly because it spoils when exposed to the air. Thus, we get the term putrefy. If it spoils, it's no good except for fertilizer, which they spread on the fields to raise the petunias and potatoes. Isn't that interesting?
It sure is, mister. Thanks ever so much.
That's okay, Danny. You learn more about it when you start studying botany and geometry and stuff.
Oh, I know what geometry is now, I bet you.
Oh, you do, eh? Well, what is it? Come on, tell me, what's geometry, you know?
Geometry is... Well, geometry is what the little acorn said when it grew up.
Huh?
Geometry.
Mm.
Bye now.
Yeah. Now I'm back to work. Now, see, where's my hacksaw? Oh, here it is. Oh, I had a little marmoset, a handy little sinner. He'd help marmoset the table almost every night for dinner. Oh, the monkey and the coconut. Hey, Molly, we got any scotch tape?
No, Uncle Dennis used it all up when he was packing his bags to leave.
What do you need all that scotch tape for?
He said his scotch was always shaking loose.
Oh. Oh, I had a little crocodile.
Come in. Well, hello there, Mr. Wimple. Do come in.
Hi there, Wimp. Be with you in just a sec.
Hello, folks. My, this is a familiar scene. Husband in one room, wife in the other room, sitting with their backs to each other. Makes me kind of homesick.
He's making me a table lamp, Mr. Wimple, but he doesn't want me to see it until it's finished.
Yeah, she knows I'm making it, Wimp, but she don't know what oughta. You ever do much handicraft work?
Well, no, not much, Mr. McGee. I just watch birds and write greeting cards.
Still making a bum out of Longfellow, eh?
Mm-hmm.
Have you written a valentine to your wife yet?
Two of them.
Oh?
Would you like to hear the one I'm sending her anonymously?
Oh, I'd love to, Mr. Wimple. I've always been fond of poetry anyway. Edgar Guest came to visit us once. The room he slept in, we still refer to as the guest room.
Go ahead, Wimp. Let's hear the poem.
All righty. It goes to Sweetie Face, my Valentine. Here's to you, my sweet Valentine, with the heart and the lace and the old familiar line. For year after year, I've been writing this stuff. If you had any sense, you would know it was guff. But no, you just grab it with tears in your eyes and read it like it was a tremendous surprise. I'm afraid it's the last you'll be getting from me, because Cupid is stupid. Do you have to be?
Just came special delivery from the Bombtown. Shall I open it?
No. I should say not, kiddo. Thanks anyway. Just hand it here. And don't look at what I'm doing.
All right. I've got my head turned away.
Much obliged. Now, you go back and sit down, Tootsie. I'll have this lamp finished and nothing flat. And believe me, it's the best job I ever done. There's going to be a lot of scorched eyeballs around here. People won't be able to take their eyes off this lamp like I don't think they will.
How's that again, dearie?
I says the people won't be able to take their eyes off this lamp like I don't think they will. There'll be a lot of scorched eyeballs.
Come in. For goodness sakes, Dr. Gamble. Come right in, Doctor.
Thank you, my dear. And where is little Limberlip today?
Oh, he's just in the dining room there.
Here I am, Doc. Be with you in just a sec.
What's he doing in there?
Well, he's making me a table lamp, Doctor.
What out of?
I don't know what out of.
A table lamp. I hope you won't be hurt, my dear, if I get under the table the first time he turns it on.
Oh, no. Just make room for me is all, because I
like... Hi there, old fever blister. What made you run away from the hospital at this time of day? Somebody come in with a contagious disease?
To me, Slackjaw, germs are far less repulsive than some of the larger forms of animal life.
Anything personal in that remark?
What do you think?
I don't think so.
You're just modest.
Thank you.
Not at all.
Pardon me, Alphonse and Gaston, but I'd like to know how you're getting along with my table lamp, McGee.
Oh, baby, it's going to be a Lulu. The best job I ever done. I'm making Molly a table lamp, Doc, but she don't know how to hop and what.
When will the lowbrow public be permitted to behold this hand-soldered epic, Chisel Fizzle?
Yes, I'm getting very impatient, dearie. Remember, you promised I'd have it today.
He keeps promises like I keep a 29-inch waistline.
Nevertheless, Medicine Ball, when I make a promise, I make a promise. My motto is never break a promise to a child or a woman. Grown men can look after themselves. Give me 5 minutes, Molly.
5 minutes it is, McGee.
Come on, Doc. You can lend me a surgical hand.
Oh, are you using hands on this? Everything you've built up till now, I thought you made with your teeth and your elbows.
You have 4 minutes and 50 seconds, dearie.
Oh, come on, Dockie. Come in when I call you, Molly. Take a peek under that tablecloth, Doc. That's the lamp. I filled it with cement to give it some weight, and then I bored a hole through the bottom, wired it up through here, see? And I bought this blue and silver lampshade at the Bontine. Hand me that wire, will you?
Here you are. Right. And while it hurts me to say this, my boy, that is really a beautiful lamp.
Betcha.
A pewter teapot with that blue and silver shade was pure inspiration.
Yeah, you said it. Now let me turn it on, see if it works.
Perfect. Perfect. Well, here's the shade. A handsome one it is, too.
Thanks. It cost me $3.79, but when I get in a creative mood like this, cost means nothing. Hold her steady while I screw it on.
Okay.
Ah, there we are.
Time's up, McGee.
And it's all finished. Throw that tablecloth over it again, Doc. We'll unveil it like the beautiful thing it is.
Okay. My dear, you have a great surprise in store for you.
Heavenly days, I'm so excited. Don't keep me in suspense any longer, McGee. Let's see it.
Okay, now you stand right over there where you can get the best view of it. When I count to three, Doc, you yank the tablecloth off.
It will be a pleasure to yank the sheet off something that won't peer up at me and ask how big the incision will be. You ready?
One,
I was just going to say, McGee, it's a good thing you're finished with that, because I've got to run over to Mrs. Williams.
Over to Foggy Williams's? What for?
Just to return an antique pewter teapot she loaned me for my party last week.
A pew? A pew?
She says it doesn't look very valuable, but it was made by Paul Revere himself back in 1768.
A pew?
Come on, boys, what are we waiting for?
A pew? A pew? A pew?
Better get his bed ready, my dear.
A pew?
I think I've got a patient on my hands.
A pew? A pew?
What's the matter?
A pew?
We'll get back to Fibber and Chuck in just a moment. You know, Chrysler Air Temp's 40th anniversary is more than just another happy occasion. It's the perfect time to remember how fortunate we are in this day and age. Oh, sure, I like the good old days as much as the next person. But then was then, and now is now. And while most everything else has changed radically since the good old days, at least one thing has stood the test of time. Air Temp's dedication to quality in air conditioning. And today, with Air Temp, you get the only air conditioner with Chrysler engineering. Call your nearest participating Chrysler Air Temp dealer now. He'll give you a free home cooling survey. He'll check out your air conditioning needs according to the style of your home and the size of your family. Then, he'll recommend the Air Temp system that's best for you. Your Air Temp dealer has the knowledge and experience to back up every installation. And this season, he also has something more. An Air Temp 40th anniversary gift for every homeowner who calls for a free home cooling survey. This gift is a free, rib-tickling comedy record of the good old days of radio. It features great comedy stars and great comedy shows from original broadcasts of the 1940s and 50s. A $5.95 value, it lets you enjoy the humorous highlights of radio's golden age again and again. Remember, call your local Air Temp dealer for your free home cooling survey and your free record. And get his best price on whole house air conditioning equipment that's quiet, efficient, and dependable. Look in the yellow pages under air conditioning and choose Chrysler Air Temp with confidence. Now, let's get back to Fibber McGee and Chuck Shaden at 79 Wistful Vista.
You know, we got some pretty great sounds out of this old radio tonight, Chuck.
You really put some great sounds into that radio, Mr. McGee. You and Molly, every Tuesday night.
Oh, shucks.
Tuesday night at 79 Wistful Vista was always the greatest night of
the... There were lots of good shows on in them days, every night of the week.
I know, but on Tuesday with the McGees...
Hey, as long as this baby's working so good, let's try some other day here. I'll set the tuner for Wednesday. Turn up the volumeter on the floor set. There.
Well, I just talked to Mrs. Williams, McGee.
What'd she say, kiddo? What'd she say? Is she awful sore at me?
Hey, that's you. And Molly again.
Oh, great. I got this thing set
no.
for Wednesday.
She thought it made a beautiful lamp. She just loved it.
Oh, boy.
But she says it depends on what Mr. Williams says.
Ain't he home yet?
No, he had to take his groundhog to the vet.
His groundhog to the vet? What's the matter with it?
Shock.
Shock?
It saw its shadow yesterday and knew it would have 6 weeks more of Mr. Williams. Isn't that ridiculous?
Yeah. Good night.
Good night, all.
Leave it on. Doggone it, there's something wrong here. It's not supposed to... Oh, wait a minute. I know what it is.
Well, why'd you do that?
Technical difficulties. You see, this old radio works better when the Heterodyne feed is coupled with the iMagination.
The iMagination?
Yeah. That's when we can tune in the programs we want. And only then.
Well, what's wrong? Is the Heterodyne feed out of whack?
No, sir. Your iMagination is out of whack. You're so set on Tuesday that I can't get Wednesday's show out of here.
Ah, that can't be. It must be something
else. That's all it can be. This set's set for Wednesday, but you're too took with Tuesday to make it work on Wednesday when you like Tuesday better. You better go home and come back again.
Well, if that's what you
think...
Go
on home, Chuck. Straighten out your iMagination. Set it for Wednesday and think about Duffy's Tavern and Kay Kaiser's College of Musical Knowledge.
Oh, and Gildersleeve. I'll do it.
Oh, Gildersleeve, that big wind tunnel. Who wants to hear him? He's fuller of hot air than the exhaust pipes on a 707. If I could buy that guy for what I think he's worth and sell him for what he thinks he's worth, I'd be the richest guy in town. And furthermore...
You've been listening to Fibber McGee and the Good Old Days of Radio, presented by the makers of Chrysler Air Temp, air conditioning for the home, for business, and for industry. With Jim Jordan, Chuck Shaden, great voices from radio's golden age, and me, Larry Thor.
Fibber McGee and the Good Old Days of Radio was written by Phil Leslie, produced by Todd Kaiser, directed by Jim Dolan, and is a copyrighted presentation of Radioland Productions, Incorporated.